Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joshua Washington, thank you for talking to us here on Chai FM.
Hey, Simon. Again, it's good to be here.
So, Joshua, you've been quite active. In fact, that's an understatement on social media over the past 2-3 weeks. It's been a difficult time, a very difficult time, in fact. And I was wondering, just be interesting to get your perspective as a black Christian American how have your last 2.5 to 3 weeks been? What have you been up to?
Yeah, so it's been very eventful, as you said. My wife and I, it was her idea, but we had, one of the things that we did was we planned a rally, a pro-Israel rally, here in Charlotte, North Carolina, that went very well. It started, the idea for it came the week earlier when we went to an anti-Israel rally to counter protest. It's been very eventful to say the least. There's been a lot of lies being thrown at Israel, and there's been a lot of different for everything from politicians all the way down to social media, popular kind of, media accounts like Vox or Infographics and things like that. People are attempting to kind of summarize what's going on in Israel. And we've been working kind of overtime to kind of speak against those and, tell the truth about what's really happening. So it's definitely been, it's been a very unusually busy few weeks.
That's probably understatement of the century, but streams to me also, and just judging by the articles that you've put out, that you've taken a hell of a lot of flack from your fellow black community members. Would that be accurate?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. It's not unexpected, but it definitely is more than even before. I think that one of the things that has laid the groundwork for this type of stance against Israel in academia and all those things has been doctrines like, I don't know if you're familiar with these kind of doctrines out here in the United States, critical race theory, movements like Black Lives Matter, these and their ideologies that have always, we've always said, at the organization that I'm the director of, Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel, that those types of ideologies, those divisive kind of racial ideologies, will lend themselves to anti-Semitism. It's always going to come back against the Jewish people, against Israel. And we saw it on full display during this war. You know, there were people who didn't know anything about the Middle East who were resharing these false stories. And then these other stories that have been long since debunked have been resurfacing about Israel and Ethiopian Jews. And so like, it almost like a, we're not only fighting what's happening right now, but we literally have to teach people about what happened pre-1948, 1948, and all that stuff, because there's just so many layers of disinformation that it was ridiculous.
Pretty astounding to me how just certain portions of the story are just ignored and left out totally. I mean, you talk about genocide, you talk about ethnic cleansing, the expulsion of the Jews from North Africa and from the Middle Eastern Arab countries is just never even mentioned. You know, they don't talk about the fact that 700,000 Jews were forced to flee in the 40s. And there's an equivalence there, and it's just ignored, which absolutely amazes me. But I want to get back to that critical race theory, because that really does seem to be the prevailing, I don't even know what the word is, what, educational philosophy maybe in the United States at the moment. Yeah. And it's got a lot of traction in universities, a lot of bright people buying into it. And there was an article in the Times of Israel this week by Elie Wiesel's son, saying that Jews have become the new whites and Palestinians have become the new blacks, and the battle's lost.
No, absolutely, and it's because of so many people have bought into this. I mean, critical race theory is basically the belief, especially here in this country, that whiteness, white supremacy, that white people in general, whether they're rich or poor, doesn't matter, have this inherit since this innate power that people of color don't have, and that everything can pretty much be boiled down to that. So it's kind of like this Marxist take on on race, where you're either the oppressed or you're the oppressor. And in this case, if you're the if you're white, then you're inherently the oppressor, and if you're not white, then you're inherently the oppressed. And then what it's been doing is it's been putting especially you, like Ashkenazi Jews, in the same category as white Americans, and so what we've been seeing is not enough of a pushback against the whole ideology. There have been people who have been trying to push back and say that, well, you know, Jews aren't really white, you know, we're Semitic people, but to me, we need to push back on the whole thing because the whole binary is just messed up. You can't just group people into groupings like that. So anyone who's black and successful is a notable example, or they're still victims somehow. And so what you get is often, you know, people who push this theory are wealthy, successful people of color, black people or Mexicans or whatever, who then are trying to push this, that they're, no matter what, they're going to still be victims and oppressed. And even if a white person is poor and grew up in a poor area and has a poor family, that because they're white, they still have this kind of oppressor thing in them that causes them to contribute to the oppression of people of color. And it's wrong. And it's just being applied to Israel. And that's really what it is. And so, yeah, Israel is white. Palestinians are black. And and people are so married to the doctrine. It really doesn't matter what you say to them, because we've allowed this thing to really take root. We have to get rid of the whole thing in order to even start talking about it.
So that was my next question. It's interesting because this whole conversation is going in a direction I didn't know it would, but it's fascinating. How does this play out? I mean, how does one counterbalance this? You know, if one doesn't want to be a crazy right-wing Trumpist, which I don't, what's the fallback position? How does one counter this?
I think that no matter what, and this is what we continue to try to do here at IPSI, is that we have to keep telling the truth, even if, no matter who is also telling it or who's not telling it. Yes, for a while, us coming against critical race theory, a lot of people called us sellouts, a lot of people called us right wing, you know, and particularly because at the time, former President Trump was also against critical race theory. And so it made us look like, you know, we were somehow backing Trump, but you know, that we couldn't let that sway us because the truth will always come out. So now, which is why I wrote the most recent article that I wrote, it's just simply called We Told You. And it was basically saying, look, we've been railing against this from the beginning and now we're seeing it rear its ugly head. And we're kind of scrambling to try to put out all these fires. When we could have really been fighting this thing at its beginning, I think it wouldn't have been so much of an onslaught on social media, now if we had really attacked this before. So, you know, it's like sometimes telling the truth will, you know, for certain seasons will put you in a category, or seemingly put you in a category that you don't want to be put in. But eventually the truth gets weeded out from the lies. And you know, you get vindicated. It's just, you just have to be willing to endure the ridicule for a while, you know?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. What just concerns me, and I'm no philosopher, believe you me, but kind of every ideology is going to have its counterbalancing ideology. And when the pendulum does swing, I'm going to think it's going to swing to a place that's going to be equally as bad on the other extreme. And it's just so self-evident that there's a middle reasonable path. And for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's social media or what it is, but that middle path just seems to be getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right.
I wish I wasn't, but Joshua, thank you so much for talking to us today. I'm going to continue to follow your articles and postings with great interest to you and your wife. Thank you for doing what you're doing, and I know that we support you.
Thank you.